Morning, Glory, and evening, Grace, America. A great show ahead on the Hugh Hewitt Show today. Eliana Johnson from National Review, Larry Sabato, Jay Cost, Newt Gingrich, John Allen of Bloomberg. But I begin with Wisconsin's newly reelected and re-inaugurated Governor Scott Walker. Governor Walker, welcome back. Congratulations on being sworn in to your second term yesterday.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was doubly nice because last election 2 years ago, we just went back to work. We didn't have any party or inauguration, so it was kind of nice to do two at one time. In fact, my staff had these great shirts that had the state of Wisconsin with three rings on it. They looked like Super Bowl rings. It said 10, 12, and 14 on, and they said three-peat at the bottom. So we had a little fun with that.
Has anyone filed recall papers on you yet?
Just wait, right?
Now, Governor, I'm relieved that you're on, because after the beatdown that my Ohio State Buckeyes put on your Badgers in the Big Ten Championship, I wasn't sure that you, Reince, or Representative Ryan would ever be back.
Hey, I was cheering for them on the first. You know, Big Ten went 3 out of 4.
Yes.
Wisconsin beat Auburn. Obviously, you guys beat Bama. I think two big impressive wins, and Michigan State won. Minnesota, the Gophers, didn't come through for us to sweep 4 of 4.
Well, you can't be perfect, and we can't really rely on the Gophers. We know that. Now, let me ask you the key question for the national audience, Governor. I want to talk about Wisconsin, but people want to know, have you ruled out a run in 2016?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, it's one of those where I very much believe that our next president should be a governor. And I think you look at the mess in Washington, you realize we need leaders from outside of our nation's capital. We need people who've been successful. And I think with what I've had to go through over the last 4 years, both politically but also in terms of the policies, certainly I feel there's a reason God put me in a spot to do the things that we've done, take on the kind of challenges we've done. And it's certainly something I'm going to take seriously and really look at closely over the next month or two.
When do you think you have to decide by, Governor Walker?
I think any candidate that's going to be serious by mid-year in 2015 has to be in the race. I mean, I just was sworn in yesterday. Next week, I'll give my State of the State. By the beginning of next month, I've given my budget address, introduce our next two-year budget, which will continue lowering property taxes, expanding school choice, lowering the size of government, reducing the number of state employees, lowering our debt, doing all the things that you expect a good common sense conservative to do. And once we've done that, I think it puts me in a perfect position to see if this is the right calling.
Now, I looked up today because I wanted to ask you about Mrs. Walker and discovered that Tonette Tarantino Walker is her name. And I am all mixed up with Tarantinos out of Ohio, out of Ashtabula. So I'm glad you have a Tarantino in the family. But what does Tonette think about a national campaign having basically been on the stump with you through three elections in 4 years?
That's right.
Is she okay with it?
Absolutely. I mean, she is a trooper. Tonette was a widow before we were married. She lost her husband and her only sibling within a year. She is a tough and remarkable woman in her own right. And she and now our 19 and 20-year-old sons, who themselves, not just me, over the last 4 years, were targets of protests and attacks and all sorts of other things. They weathered that. It made us, sometimes a family goes through traumatic things like that and they grow apart. We grew closer together. And I think they've realized after not just 2 years ago in the recall, but even this last November's election, I was the number one target in America, you know, for AFSCME, for the AFL-CIO, for the teachers union nationally, the NEA. I was their number one target. Washington-based special interest groups spent just about everything they could. They brought the president in. They brought in Clinton. They brought in Elizabeth Warren. And we prevailed because we took the power away from those big government special interests and we put it in the hands of the taxpayers. And in the end, the taxpayers wanted someone who was going to stand up for them.
Now, because of the nature of my business, I talk to everyone about this, and you are almost everybody's second choice to be the Republican nominee and many people's first choice, but I hear the same two questions again and again, so I want to pose them to you first in 2016. First of all, you're too nice to beat Hillary. Can you beat Hillary?
I think anybody who watched me over the last 4 years knows that I ran against the mayor of Milwaukee twice, who was former member of Congress, had all the backing in the world behind him, and I ran against a very strong businesswoman this last time who had, like I said, all the Washington base behind her, and we had no problem. I'm nice. I'm Midwestern nice. There's no doubt about it, but I don't think anyone's ever wondered if I was able to stand up and fight the big issues, and we've done that, I think, both on the campaign trail and equally, if not more importantly, in the Capitol.
The second thing I always hear, in a field full of lawyers and even one Dr. Rand Paul and a couple of businessmen, you're the only guy without a college degree. Yeah. What do you say to that?
I say I'm like the majority of people in America. I'm someone who went to college, had the opportunity my senior year to go and take a job full-time, which was not the only reason I went to college, but one of the biggest reasons was to get a job. The American Red Cross offered me a job my senior year, and I took it, thinking someday maybe I'd go back. But a few years later, I met my wonderful wife, Tonette. Year after that, we had Matthew. Year after that, we had Alex. And like a lot of folks in America, you know, your family and your job take the time away from you from finishing it up. But I don't think anybody, I've got a master's degree in taking on the big government special interest, and I think that is worth more than anything else that anybody can point to.
That's a terrific response, Governor. Now, I got to ask you about, you talked in your inaugural address yesterday about a lot of things, one of which was reforming education. Common Core is the most volatile issue I have run into in my 15 years on the air. I mean, it makes people crazy. What is going on in Wisconsin with regards to Common Core? What's Scott Walker's view on it?
Well, I'm against it. I want high standards, no doubt about it. I have two kids who are now in college, but went through public schools in my state. I was pleased with the education they got. I'm pleased that Wisconsin got the second highest ACT scores in the country, and they've gone up since I've been governor. But I don't want anybody outside of my state, particularly from Washington, telling me or any other family or any school board in the state what they can or can't do when it comes to standards. And so long before I was governor, we're one of the few states that doesn't have a cabinet member for education. I have an independently elected superintendent of public instruction, but that superintendent put in place essentially language that said they supported the Common Core. We brought up legislation, didn't pass last session. I'm hopeful it will pass this month or within the next 2 months, that will make it clear that no school district in this state is required to enact any sort of Common Core standards, and take a step further to make it clear that no testing that the state superintendent or his office can do can any way be based on forcing districts to use the Common Core. I want people to set their standards at the local school board level so that parents, taxpayers, concerned citizens can go to their elected officials and make sure that they're doing what they expect right in their given communities.
Do you expect this issue to dominate Republican primaries?
Oh, I think it'll be a big one. I mean, I think, you know, taxes, immigration, having a realistic approach that says we're going to, before we talk about anything else, we're going to make sure we secure our borders. I think Common Core and education reform in general is going to be part of it. I'm expanding. I've got one of the largest school choice programs in the country. We're going to expand it statewide going ahead in the future. I mean, there's just all sorts of big issues out there. But I think more than anything, my sense, certainly when I was on the campaign trail, but I sense it across the country is, people not only in the primaries but in the general election, they want leadership. They want people to stand up and lead, not just talk about what we're against with the president. There are plenty of things to talk about there, but stand up and talk about why a common-sense, conservative plan for America is a better approach than the one we have right now.
Now, Governor Walker, the other issue is national defense. People are very worried about the way the world is right now, and our Navy's down to 260 to 80 ships, and they want to retire mothball carriers, and they don't have a replacement ballistic submarine. Are you smart enough and ready enough to get smart on the Navy and the national defense issues? I know you're the head of the National Guard in Wisconsin, but it's a completely different world. Can you run as a hawk and be believable?
I absolutely believe so. Two reasons I say that. One, you're right, there's 10,000 strong men and women in the Wisconsin National Guard. Last night, I celebrated our inaugural by inviting a number of them who had been deployed in the past year to come and join us at our inaugural ball in uniform, because we wanted to thank them for the service they and their families have provided, not only our state but our country. So I've been at deployments. I've been overseas. I've seen the troops in action. But more importantly than travels, I think good national defense foreign policy issues are more than just giving speeches or making travels. They're about leadership. And as a governor, I can imagine a number of other governors have shown that the best way to show you can lead on issues like that is surrounding yourself by highly qualified people, like we've done in our cabinet, get the kind of expertise and understanding you need to make good decisions, and then most importantly, not waver. I think one of the biggest mistakes this president has made in foreign policy has been, whether it's drawing a red line with Syria or any number of other instances, where he's said one thing and then retreated. That's the worst thing you can do when it comes to foreign policy and national security issues. You need someone who can lead, and that's what governors do each and every day.
Last question. Who's advising you on defense issues? Who will, you know, give you the rundown on how many ships we need, carriers, ballistic missiles, all that sort of stuff?
Oh, we talk to all sorts of different folks. I mean, I've been blessed. The one of my good friends, Mark Thiessen, who helped me write the book Unintimidated that we came out with last year, is a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, and so he's been reaching out to me with folks who are fellows and experts in that area with the American Enterprise Institute. But there's any number of other
folks.
That's
terrific.
Had good talks with George Shultz and other folks in the past, and we'll continue to do that with many different organizations in the future.
Governor Scott Walker, I hope you are back early and often throughout 2015. A great congratulations on your second term and best wishes for the Badger State. Thanks for supporting the Buckeyes as well. I'll be right back, America, on The Hugh Hewitt Show.